السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Hadhrat Muslih-e Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, once delivered a sermon on communal and collective shortcomings and weaknesses. And he explained their root causes, and he drew the attention of the members of the Jamaat to safeguard themselves from these. As the subject matter is something needed today, I have availed from Hadhrat Muslih Maud's sermon in my today's discourse. Deficiencies and weaknesses always consist of two categories. One is the individual deficiencies and weaknesses, and the other is the collective deficiencies and weaknesses. Good qualities also consist of two types. One is the good qualities of an individual, and the other is the communal good qualities. Individual shortcomings are found in individual people, but are not a national or collective trait. Similarly, there are good characteristics of an individual that are not a collective tendency, but rather they are an individual affinity. An individual is able to develop good traits by acquiring knowledge and by making efforts. And on the other hand, every individual develops faults and failings as a result of their surroundings and circumstances. It should be borne in mind that vices and virtues, or good qualities and shortcomings, all emerge depending on one's environment and influences. To exemplify this, one can think of a seed. It is unable to grow without soil or earth. Or nowadays, new techniques have produced a special compost. It enhances the water absorption and growth of the crop. This is placed in large pots or containers in huge indoor areas. But in any case, without soil and earth, the seed cannot grow. To properly avail of any crop, it is necessary to provide the right conditions. This is either the right soil or earth, or something with a similar features to it. If the seed grows without the proper conditions, it will soon die. In this same way, virtues and vices, or good qualities and shortcomings, all form as a direct result of the environment and influences a person encounters. In short, one's surroundings and environment are an essential cause in the growth of either his or her good or bad characteristics. The external influences will only affect the growth of good or bad qualities when the required soil or conditions is provided. However, the environment also consists of two types. It is not necessary that a particular environment will have these exact same effect on every individual. In fact, those set of circumstances will only impact an individual and not the entire community. An example of this is of soil in which only particular crops can grow. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that, for example, saffron, although it grows in India, it does not grow in every part of the country, but rather it only grows in Kashmir, and even there it only grows in a particular area, where a unique type of saffron grows of the highest quality. Landowners and rice sellers in Pakistan will be aware that fragrant basmati rice found in Galar does not grow anywhere else in Pakistan. Expert agriculturists have tried their level best to reproduce the same type of fragrant rice, but they failed. So in short, for certain crops, Allah the Almighty has made it a law of nature that specific conditions are essential, without which its qualities and traits do not manifest. There is then the elements of the earth and weather, all of which also have an effect on the crops. Conversely, there are some crops such as wheat and also gardens, which grow everywhere in a country. Although there may be varying rates of growth, but nonetheless, it grows in all areas. In this same way, there are certain bad traits or good traits in people, which under certain influences or factors take root in the entire community. They become the means of either the decline or progress of the whole collective. Bad habits of an individual may be rectified by the individual, and if he really makes an effort, then not only can he remove those bad traits, but rather he can even develop individual good qualities. However, when good or bad habits form into a communal or collective trait, an individual's effort alone has no impact. because the individual is merely a part of the collective, and thus his sole efforts cannot reform the community as a whole. Rather, the failings in the entire community indeed have an effect on individuals. If the whole environment of an area is corrupted, all its residents will be adversely affected. We can take the example of the human body and of a person who swallows poison. It would have an effect on one's hands, feet, different body parts, or the mind. It would be impossible to happen otherwise. And thus, it would harm the entire body. Similarly, we eat various foods such as meat, fruits, and other things, which give benefit to the entire body. This is because the individual body parts make up the whole body. This is why poison swallowed will have an effect on each body part, and correspondingly, good food will give benefit to each body part. Thus, good and bad traits that develop in an entire community impact everyone. Good or bad qualities intrinsic in an entire community cannot be tackled by specific parts of the body or by a particular individual. One person's reformation will not reform the entire collective, nor remove maladies, nor spread good. Because undoubtedly, the entire community has an influence on the individual. In short, the rule is that if the entire community derives benefit, so too do parts or individuals of the community. And if the entire community is harmed or is negatively impacted, then parts or individuals of the community also suffer as a result. Ailments found in an individual can be pinpointed and cured through efforts. And the person himself can even do this if he detects his own shortcomings and then strives to remove them. However, to remove maladies from the entire community requires for the whole community to reflect as a collective. If, as an entire community, determined efforts are not made towards removing vices and deficiencies, and everyone is not prepared to try and cure those failings, then those failings take root into the whole community. Then these shortcomings at a certain point ultimately result in the destruction and ruin of the entire people. Thus, whilst it is essential for everyone to reflect on their individual weaknesses, it is also necessary as a community to pinpoint our weaknesses as a whole and then as a collective to cure and remove them. Every individual would have to play their role towards identifying these faults. Because without a combined and collective endeavor to cure our failings, we will never be able to succeed. Observe in worldly law. For example, take a landowner or farmer who encounters a natural disaster such as a flood. He cannot construct a dam on his own to safeguard himself from it. To make provisions for this or to make a dam is the remit of the government. It is the government that makes the combined and collective provisions. Government is a term to describe a collection of individuals. And so where any government is inept, there the entire nation suffers. And so we saw exactly this in recent floods in Pakistan, and this has always been the case there. Although certain natural disasters are impossible to safeguard from, there are some natural disasters that one can take precautions against, and measures can be taken beforehand. Despite this, however, man, due to his carelessness, ends up showing negligence and suffers loss. And so if the entire nation or the government continue to neglect their responsibilities, the loss and harm suffered multiplies manifold, as we normally observe happens in the world. Therefore, we need to reflect and reform as a collective community or nation. Hazrat Musleh Maud, discoursing on this in the context of the Jamaat, draws the attention of the Jamaat members and explains how we should measure and reflect on these communal and collective deficiencies. He says that there will be benefit in the Jamaat deliberating on various shortcomings from different angles and seeking out their remedies. There are various means of doing so, which should be able to identify and diagnose the communal and collective faults and maladies, which can then be cured. The first means is by spreading education and teachings among a community or collective, which then every member of the community considers obligatory to act upon. If these happen to be bad and immoral teachings, which have or could have a negative effect upon a person, then bad traits develop within him or her, and thus innovations also form. Or it could be that due to innovations, vices develop. This is true with regards to some religions. A religion which advocates erroneous doctrines will negatively impact each of its followers. It will adversely impact the follower of that religion socially and culturally. So it will not just affect the adherent of such a religion spiritually, but rather its bad effects will manifest in their social and cultural lives. However, we as Muslims believe the Holy Quran to be the word of God. We hold firm faith that it is flawless and perfect, and thus it is impossible that it can lead to bad effects. That when its teachings are without fault, then clearly nothing bad can ever come of it. In short, Muslims believe that nothing bad can emanate from it. However, the question is, are all Muslims free of vice and bad traits? Observing our surroundings and the general condition of the Muslims, it reveals that the majority are embroiled in immoralities. And so we need to stop to think about the following. There are no imperfections in the Holy Quran, and God Almighty has announced within it Himself that the Quran is without any flaw. It is a perfect and complete law. There are numerous prophecies in the Holy Quran which have been fulfilled and are continuing to be fulfilled. And so the proclamation of God is certainly true that the Quran's teachings are perfect and without any deficiencies. Thus, we definitely believe the aforementioned to be truthful, and so the question remains that wherein lies these shortcomings and faults? The answer to this should be that people have failed to understand the teachings of the Quran and have acted wrongly as a result. If the Quran is flawless, then undoubtedly all that remains is that there are shortcomings in our understanding of its teachings and how to act upon them. Undoubtedly, the Quran is perfect. It is only a misunderstanding of it that has impacted the Muslim community. These failings have arisen as a result of the Muslim scholars of both past and present not comprehending the Quranic teachings. In any case, the end result is obvious and is what we are observing occurring today. Now, the scholars or commentators of the Holy Quran, past and present, undoubtedly held individual or personal viewpoints. However, the Muslim community would not consider them to be individual views. Rather, the Muslims look solely towards these scholars. Because mistaken views and commentaries were exposed, the Muslim people following those scholars and commentators could not avail of the teachings of the Holy Quran, despite it being the best and perfect message. And in fact, they are suffering as a result. And this is the reason why vices and immoralities are strife in these societies. Certain wrongful views became custom, which have nothing to do with the teachings of Islam. They became influenced by their surroundings, by other religions, and by the advancement of civilization, and wrongfully considered those as part of their faith. Nonetheless, many faults appeared. It is a great favor of God the Almighty that we are a part of the promised Messiah on whom be peace his community. And these age-old practices or customs that are devoid of any kind of wisdom have no effect on us, and neither should they have any effect. However, even so, we are not completely safe from these. And this is because there are certain people within the community who hold personal views, and on certain occasions, concerning a particular matter, they start to raise doubts and suspicions, or they deem no harm in interpreting a certain matter in another way. At times, some of the new scholars give commentaries according to their understanding. Although this is not forbidden, and in fact they should do so, but there are certain principles for this. By making such an error, wrong views can develop. Therefore, in order to avoid this, the scholars should also express their interpretation and views in accordance with Khilafat and the Jamaat Nizam, the administrative system of the community. Even though generally we are undoubtedly free from such views by the grace of God the Almighty, however, there is a constant need to protect ourselves from these errors. And the only way to do this is by observing the mistakes of the non-Ahmadis. Because this reflection will ensure that we do not allow these errors to enter into us. Thus, we can prevent the whole community from falling into such errors.
ان غلطیوں کو داخل ہونے سے روک سکتے ہیں اور قومی نکایت سے بچ سکتے ہیں.
We also need to observe the people that live in our surroundings. Whatever religion they may belong to, whether they believe in God or any religion or not, we should identify those collective shortcomings and failings that are prevalent in them as a nation. We should extend the scope of this to pinpointing the errors and deficiencies in our neighboring countries also. In fact, now the world has drawn so close together that everyone is like a neighbor to one another. That is to say, the long distances are now easily reachable, and the media has also brought the world closer together. We are able to witness all of their good qualities as well as shortcomings and weaknesses. And neighboring countries influence each other. The children are influenced by the environment of its neighboring country also. Even if the parents train their children, when there is such weaknesses present, then regardless of their upbringing and training, the children will take influence from their surroundings. Also, children spend most of their time in school and playing with their friends. And in this day and age, they are able to discover friends who enter through the television, which are influencing children and adults alike. As a result, children no longer listen to their parents, and parents are also creating a distance from their children due to their other commitments or because of other reasons. There are some parents who are polluting their environment at home themselves through television and other means. The consequences of it are, which in fact are now evident, that they begin to harm their children and the children no longer respect their parents. They say that in such an environment, this is the way to live, and if you have come here, you will have to live like this. These no longer remain individual ills and weaknesses, but are developing into communal and collective ills. Homes are being destroyed. Parents are not only spiritually but also physically killing their children. In the name of freedom, the Western society is heading towards destruction. And this is an evil that has affected the whole nation. But it is now also engulfing some Ahmadis in its course. Before this ill develops into a communal one and spreads, and after having believed in the promised Messiah on whom be peace, we once again fall back into being ignorant, it is necessary that we heighten our efforts as a collective community to protect ourselves from these maladies. Therefore, if there are any ills, then God forbid, before these ills of the Western countries affect us as a whole, all of the branches of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community's Nizam administration should collectively deliberate over this matter and formulate a strategy to try and stop this from now. We have taken up the responsibility to cure the world. We have pledged and announced that we shall cure the world. And so if those are going to cure become ill, then who shall relieve the world of its personal and social ills? We should also keep in view that some nations, on account of their specific circumstances and conditions, can develop both good and bad practices. This has been illustrated by an example cited by Hazrat Musleh Maud, that our Jamaat, by the grace of God the Almighty, has spread all across the world, and God Almighty is winning the hearts of the people in far distant lands. And now, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, this has greatly expanded. However, a doctrine of the Jamaat is that we do not offer our Salat behind a non-Ahmadi Imam, because the non-Ahmadi Imam has not accepted that Imam that God Almighty has appointed for this day and age. Not only do they not believe in him, but they speak of him in extremely vile language. Therefore, we cannot give precedence to an Imam appointed by people over an Imam that has been chosen by God. Therefore, we do not read Salat behind them. Generally, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, we now have Salat centers and mosques, whereby Ahmadis can and do offer their Salat in congregation. But there are still certain areas where there are only one or two Ahmadi households. Therefore, they offer their Salat in their homes. But instead of offering their Salat in congregation, they offer it individually. I have drawn attention to this previously as well, that you can offer your Salat in congregation at home also. There is no harm in doing so. Some people, due to their other commitments, offer their Salat individually. Or some combine their Salat because of their work. But this is all because they don't give enough consideration to go to the mosque, or the mosque is not close to their homes, or the mosque that is nearby is a non-Ahmadi mosque, and we are forbidden to enter them in certain areas or due to other reasons. Therefore, they do offer their Salat, but they offer it at home, and usually do not pay much attention to offering it in congregation. Or it is perhaps because they have a habit of unnecessarily combining their prayers. Despite drawing so much attention towards this, and after countless admonishments, there are a large number of people that show no interest and passion for congregational prayer. Thus, it is becoming a collective and communal ailment, and therefore it requires an intense cure. It is not an ailment affecting only an individual, that is, a particular person did not attend the mosque to offer his Salat in congregation. The manner in which people are showing their lack of concern has taken the form of a social flaw and ill. Due to certain circumstances and the provisions offered has reduced the importance of congregational prayer. No doubt there are many Ahmadis who offer their Salat at home, and among them there are some who pray very fervently. Whilst a large number of Muslims may not worship with such devotion. But the ones that do pray still go to the mosque, even if it may be for display. there is even an increase in the number of worshippers going to the mosques in Pakistan also, according to the news. Whether they read them with full attention or not, but nevertheless they still go to the mosques. And there they listen to all sorts of vile and false statements made against the community. And this creates a lot of enmity in them, as well as various ills. But they still go to the mosque. However, if we want to go to the mosques, then it should be with the intent of cleansing ourselves from sins. Therefore, there is a big difference when we go to the mosque and in their going to the mosque. But they have developed this habit, while we still greatly lack in this. Therefore, we should always remember that only the true believers shall fill the mosques. And a true believer is one who has accepted the Imam of the age. This is as opposed to those who in the name of worship create disorder and discord. This collective weakness of not offering Salat in congregation, or not offering it in the mosque, or to combine the prayers, is even more perilous when we note that its importance is reducing in the minds of the children. Some children, after observing the condition of their parents, have started to say that there are only three prayers in the day. When they are told that in fact there are five prayers, they reply that they have only seen their parents offer three prayers. Therefore, we need to assess and plan everywhere. Otherwise, this will develop into a collective and communal ill in the next generation. As I mentioned before, that we need to observe our surrounding environment and formulate an extensive plan. Today, the state of the world is that it is moving away from God and religion. Therefore, if we do not gravely strive, then all kinds of ills will develop within us. One will follow the other, and merely the name of faith will remain without its actual spirit. If an epidemic or illness breaks out in any area, we immediately begin to worry and take precautionary measures. Therefore, how much effort would be required to remove the dangers of a spiritual ailment? As I mentioned earlier, that now the world has become as one. We need to make an even greater effort to cure this contagious illness. Those who take precautionary measures and vaccinations remain somewhat protected from these physical ailments compared to others. Therefore, as I mentioned before, that to protect yourselves from all kinds of spiritual ailments, there is a need to reflect over the precautionary measures at every level of society. The wrong beliefs and the variation in practices that the scholars of Islam have introduced has caused a large section of the Muslims to deviate despite having a perfect teaching. Now, after reforming ourselves, we need to strive to ensure we do not deviate. I have presented a few examples, and we need to continuously examine where the Muslims became weak and deviated. And how are we going to protect ourselves as a result? It is important to accept the promised Messiah and also to know his teaching and then to adhere to it.
Muslim,
We shouldn't get washed along with the current. In fact, our duty is to fashion our condition in accordance to our teaching. It is important to strengthen our bond with Khilafat. And in this day and age, God Almighty has provided us with MTA and websites of the community, and we need to remain attached to them also, instead of watching nonsensical programs. Through it, we are able to learn about the true teaching of the Holy Quran and the knowledge and wisdom of the promised Messiah on whom be peace through them. We are able to find the true teachings of Islam through these resources. Therefore, we need to strongly attach ourselves to these. As mentioned earlier, that we must remember that the Muslims have been given the Holy Quran, but despite this, many ills have developed in them, as a result of which it was necessary that certain ailments were to emerge in them. Therefore, one of the major factors to cause a collective and social ill in them was that the Muslims firmly believed that the Holy Quran is a complete and perfect book that mentions everything, and from the beginning to end, it is a means of guiding mankind. From this, it seems that the Holy Quran's beauty is being shown as a defect, because despite the Holy Quran, there seems to be a negative impact on the Muslims. However, if we look carefully, we find that it is a beauty, but by perceiving it incorrectly, it has caused a huge defect in the Muslims. There is no doubt that the Holy Quran is a complete and perfect book, and there is no doubt that it is a guidance until the Day of Judgment. Every kind of teaching has been brought together in it, but there is also no doubt in this either, that God Almighty, who has created the human mind, is also aware that the characteristic of the mind is that if it is not made to think and reflect, it eventually loses its function and no longer has a capacity to develop. Therefore, even though God Almighty has made the Holy Quran perfect, every injunction He has given, He has left a part of it therein for the human mind. Certain rules have been laid out which are very clear and obvious, whilst others have been left for the mind to ponder, so that man searches for himself, lest the mind ceases to function. That is why the Holy Quran has been revealed in such words and phraseology that only through deep contemplation can one seek its wisdom and breadth in meaning. If the purpose of the Holy Quran was to provide equal benefit to everyone, then it would have consisted of a clear and simple text, and whether someone pondered over its subject matter or not would have equally been aware of each part of it. Therefore, it was the divine will that the human mind should not become suspended and dysfunctional, and remain not to be nurtured due to its failure of thinking. However, as I mentioned earlier, it should be made clear that there are certain rules and conditions for this, and in this day and age, the promised Messiah on whom be peace has outlined many of those principles by writing a commentary of the Holy Quran. We need to keep them in mind and seek to find further new truths of the Holy Quran in accordance to those principles. Like other Muslims, if we only attach ourselves to the old commentaries, then we will not be able to explore new truths and avenues that the promised Messiah on whom be peace has shown us. Today, there are many doctors and scholars among the non-Ahmadis who consider themselves as commentators of the Holy Quran, but consult the literature and commentaries of our community when delivering their lectures. In fact, some are reading Tafsir-e-Kabir. However, the Holy Quran is a complete and perfect book, and there is no doubt in it. But only those are granted guidance who read it, deliberate over its meaning, and adhere to its teachings in their practices. It is not sufficient to only keep hold of one instruction and state that you have been guided. In fact, every instruction has to be implemented. It informs us of individual and communal ills as well as good qualities. For the teaching of the people of the latter days and to widen their thoughts and to show them light and understand the Holy Quran, God has declared in it that He would send His chosen person in the latter days. However, those who do not reflect on it, even their scholars have become ignorant and have rejected the one sent by God. Thus, they are deprived of the expansive knowledge of the Holy Quran. They are lost in ignorance, and instead of showing the qualities of Islam, they present an erroneous interpretation of Islam and bring it in disrepute. Such acts of other Muslims should spur us even more to not only look at what is apparent, but while understanding the spirit of Islamic teachings, we should eradicate every ill before it becomes communal and collective. We should make every good deed a communal and collective one and instill its practice in the entire community. May we always be able to facilitate such an environment and transfer it on to our future generations, through which evil is prevented from spreading, rather it produces virtues and goodness. May Allah the Almighty enable us to do so. Today, after the prayers, I will lead two funeral prayers where the body is present and two funeral prayers in absentia. The first funeral prayer in present is of Razia Musarrat Khan Sahiba, wife of respected Abdul Latif Khan Sahib of Hounslow, who is the secretary of Ishtanata. She passed away on the 11th of February 2015 at the age of 79 years. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She was the daughter-in-law of Hazrat Muhammad Zahur Khan Sahib, companion of the promised Messiah, and daughter of Subedar Karam Bakh Sahib. She migrated to England in 1962. She served as Sadr Lajna Hounslow for 2 years in 1975. Then for a long time she got the opportunity to serve as Secretary Ziafat for Lajna in Hounslow. Beside her guests during Jamaat events, she used to show hospitality with immense joy along with her team. In Hounslow, other than Ahmadi children, she also got the opportunity to teach recitation of the Holy Quran to children of non-Ahmadi acquaintances. She was a person of very good disposition. She was jovial, hospitable, and a virtuous and sincere noble woman. She had a relationship of loyalty and sincerity with Khilafat, and she raised her children well. In one way or the other, her children are able to serve faith. Other than her husband, her two daughters and four sons are left behind in her remembrance. Zahir Khan Sahib is Sadr of the Hounslow Jamaat and he also works as Naib of Sir Jalsa Gar. May Allah the Almighty exalt the status of the deceased. The second funeral is of respected Amir Shiraz Sahib, son of respected Shahid Mahmood Sahib of Modin South. He passed away on the 12th of February 2015 due to cancer at the age of 29 years. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Hazrat Mistri Hassan Din Sahib, companion of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, was his great-grandfather, and Hakim Jalaluddin Sahib was his father's maternal great-grandfather. Other than the work in his halqa, his local jamaat, he used to offer himself very enthusiastically for khidmat-e-khalq and security duty during Jalsa Salana. He was a person of very good disposition and a sincere young man. Besides his parents, he has left behind his wife and his 2.5 years old girl in his remembrance. The deceased had cancer and spent a long period of this distressful disease very pleasantly. During the extremity of his sickness, he visited me. Every time he visited, he was smiling. He was a very beloved child. May Allah the Almighty treat him with forgiveness and love. May He cover him under His wing of mercy. May Allah the Almighty keep his wife and daughter under His protection and security and grant them patience. May Allah grant his parents patience and courage. The first funeral prayer in absentia is of respected Al-Hajj Rashid Ahmad Sahib, who passed away in Milwaukee, America on 7th February 2015. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. At the time of death, his age was 91 years. The deceased was born in St. Louis, a city in America, in 1923. In 1947, he took his oath of allegiance and converted to Islam Ahmadiyyat. In 1949, 2 years after taking the oath of allegiance, he travelled to Rabwa to acquire religious education, and Hadhrat Musleh Maud personally went to the railway station to receive him. He studied in Jamia Ahmadiyya for 5 years and officially became a missionary. During his stay in Pakistan, he mastered Urdu and the Punjabi languages. He had the honour to become the first American to join Jamia Ahmadiyya. Similarly, during his 5-year stay in Rabwa, he also had the good fortune of gaining companionship of Hadhrat Musleh Maud especially. Hadhrat Musleh Maud arranged his marriage with respected Sera Qudsiya Sahiba, daughter of Haji Ibrahim Khalil Sahib, missionary of the Ahmadiyya community. From this marriage, he had 3 children, of which 1 son has passed away. The son and the daughter from his marriage are alive and they reside in America. In 1955, he was sent to America as a missionary after graduating from Jamia Ahmadiyya. At the time of his departure from Rabwa, Hadhrat Musleh Maud advised him and granted him a cap for a turban as a gift in which a piece of the promised Messiah alayhi salam's cloth was stitched. He had this with him even to this day. Now it is with his children. He was the first local American missionary of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community USA. Other than serving as a missionary in Chicago, St. Louis and other cities in America, he also served as Amir Jamaat USA. Besides this, he was Sadr Milwaukee Jamaat for a long time. He also got the opportunity to serve under various national offices. His second marriage was arranged with Aziza Ahmed, daughter of respected Khaled Osman Sahib, former Sadr of St. Louis Jamaat. He had 2 sons and 2 daughters from this marriage. He was so passionate about preaching that it was his strongest desire. He never missed an opportunity of propagation. During his presidency of the Milwaukee Jamaat, foundation of a large Jamaat consisting American Ahmadis was laid. This Milwaukee Jamaat is a larger in membership when compared to other Jamaats within the AMC USA. In 1998, he had the good fortune to perform the Hajj. In Milwaukee, besides the Jamaat, he was a very well accepted amongst the people of other faiths. For the past 20 years, he was appearing regularly on Islam Live, a television program. Until the last moments of his life, he regularly visited weekly stall for Tabligh, organized by the Jamaat. Prior to his demise, till he was in a conscious state, he did preaching of Ahmadiyya to the nurses. In 1985-86, he organized a large gathering for Muslims generally in the city's well-known university, the University of Wisconsin. He was in touch with the youngsters from the University of Wisconsin. He used to deliver speeches on campus regularly. He informed thousands of students about the peaceful teachings of Islam. He used to keep in touch with numerous local and state people. He used to hold a meeting for the general public on Sunday, in which other than Ahmadi friends, people from different faiths used to attend and benefit from his words. Upon request from friends and approval from the center, recollections of special companionship with Hadhrat Musleh Maud during journeys undertaken towards various places in Pakistan and sitting of question and answer sessions and writing notes in his notebook during these sessions, this was to be published in a book form. In For this purpose, this book was ready for publication after several years of hard work. Now it will be published after approval from the center. Murabbi Silsala Malik Farhan Rabbani writes that as a missionary, I met him for the very first time 9 months ago. Despite my young age, he met me with immense love. When I sought his advice regarding certain programs in Milwaukee Jamaat, he addressed me in Urdu and said, "Mulana Sahib, you are a representative of the Khalifa of the time. Whatever you say, we will only obey you." He had immense passion for obedience. Shamshad Sahib also writes that when I came to America, I always heard him speaking about Hadhrat Musleh Maud. He had fashioned his life according to the sayings of Hadhrat Musleh Maud. He delivered a speech in Jalsa Salana, USA last year about the memories of Hadhrat Musleh Maud and what message will the present and future generations convey through these memories. It will not be unnecessary to say here in defense of Islam, Ahmadiyyat and Khilafat that he was always a bare sword for the propagation and defense of Ahmadiyyat and Khilafat. He was ever ready for the propagation of Ahmadiyyat. Even in old age, when his body was weak and feeble, he used to do tabligh by himself. He was known as Mr. Tabligh, or Mr. Preaching. By the grace of Allah, many people attended his funeral there. There is another funeral prayer in absentia for Hassan Abdullah Sahib of Detroit. He is also American. He passed away on the 30th of January 2015. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was born in a Christian family on 26 September 1929. His birth name was William Henry. In the 1970s, he had the privilege of accepting Islam Ahmadiyyat through his Ahmadi brother, respected Wahab Sahib, who was his class fellow. After his acceptance of Islam, he was named Hassan Abdullah. The deceased possessed many virtues, and he was a devoted Ahmadi. He had immense love for the Holy Quran. Daily recitation of the Holy Quran was his routine. He used to say that he recites the first and the last 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf constantly. He used to offer the Jummah prayers regularly. He was the first one to arrive at the mosque and call the Adhan in a melodious voice. He used to arrive for Jummah prayers ahead of time and offered voluntary prayers and recited the Quran. He used to wear very neat and tidy clothes. Once he was sick, he came to the mosque directly from the hospital for Jummah instead of going home. When Detroit Mosque was set on fire, it was reconstructed. During this time, he presented his house with utmost sincerity for members of the Jamaat so they can offer the Jummah prayers theirs. He used to study books and magazines of the Jamaat with great zeal. He was amongst the special individuals whose spirit were eager in search of the truth. For this reason, he was able to accept the message of the promised Messiah. Until the last moment of his life, he fulfilled his oath of allegiance. His wife has passed away. His children are not Ahmadi. May Allah the Almighty treat him with forgiveness and mercy. May Allah the Almighty exalt the status of the deceased.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر